Father, in your name tonight, we come before your presence. We honor you and we thank you for being so good to us. If it had not been for you, Father, who has been on our side, where would we be? You have been the lifter of our head. You have been the wind beneath our sails. You have been the grace that sustained us when the enemy came in like a flood. You lifted up a standard within us. You lifted up your banner. Your banner over me is love. You lifted up your grace. Your grace is more than enough. You've lifted up the countenance upon us, and you gave us your peace that passes all understanding, that has kept our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Tonight, we thank you. Tonight, we give you praise and glory. Tonight, we tell you hallelujah from the depths of our soul, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. We declare your name as worthy to be praised. We won't let circumstances stop us. We won't let diseases stop us. We won't let famine stop us. We won't let hardship stop us. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so tonight, breathe on your people, Father. As we come before your presence, speak to us, Lord, and our hearts will obey. Lord, strengthen, hallelujah, as we have made up our minds to follow you, no matter what the cost, no matter what it takes. As for me and my house, we declare we shall serve you. And even individually, Lord, if we got to go this road by ourselves, I'd rather have Jesus than all the silver and all the gold. Thank you that you've made Christ available to us through your grace and mercy. And tonight, Lord God, move in our midst. Speak to our hearts. Anoint afresh, and we won't forget to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it now in confidence, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless you, beloved. We greet you in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for every one of you being here with us on our weekly Pastoral Connect. Today is Tuesday, October 27th in the year 2020. Look where the Lord has brought us from. Brought us from a mighty long way, whereof we are glad. And so tonight we invite you to open up your Bibles as we begin our study in the Word of God. I'm going to ask that you will turn with us in the Word of the Lord to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. Numbers, chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to need some readers tonight, and so I'm going to ask that you would get your Bibles handy, whatever you have. You know that I always tell you all to make sure that you have your notebook handy, because the Lord will give you an inspiration through the word that he has imparted to my heart to share with you, and I don't want you to lose it. How many of us can attest to the fact that God has put a thought in our spirit, given us a thought that's so profound, and because we delay in writing it down, it goes in one ear and it goes right out the other. And we are upset with ourselves because we didn't write down that thought. Well, I want you to get into practice of expecting God to speak to you. So have your pen and paper ready. Have your notebook, your tablet, whatever means of recording, or writing down, or taking notes you're going to use. Have that ready as well as your Bible in Jesus' name. Numbers chapter 21, Numbers chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. Numbers chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. And you have the ability to unmute yourselves. So I'm going to ask you to do that. If you are having any difficulty unmuting yourself, you can put it in the chat. Sister Michelle is helping me tonight. One of the two of us will unmute you quickly, but I need you all to unmute yourselves, even if you're not speaking yet, so that when it's your turn to speak, we can be quick and we can be snappy with it. Numbers chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. Can someone begin reading, please?
And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners.
Verse number two, please.
And Israel brought a bow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities.
Verse number three, someone else. Come on, folks. I need you to be snappy.
And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah.
Thank you. Verse number four.
And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way.
Thank you.
The people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth with light bread.
Thank you. Verse number six.
And the Lord set fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died.
Thank you. Verse number seven.
Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people.
And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.
In verse 9.
And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he was beheld the serpent of brass, he lived.
And the word of the Lord is blessed. I'm going to read this for you in an updated version of the English. And I want you to follow along as I share it with you in the Message translation of the scriptures. Numbers chapter 21, verses 1 through 9 from the Message translation. The Canaanite king of Arad, ruling in the Negev, heard that Israel was advancing up the road to Atharim. He attacked Israel and took prisoners of war. Israel vowed a vow to God, if you will give this people into our power, we'll destroy their towns and present the ruins to you as a holy destruction. God listened to Israel's prayer and gave them the Canaanites, they destroyed both them and their towns, a holy destruction. They named the place Hormah, holy destruction. They set out from Mount Hor along the Red Sea road and a detour around the land of Edom. The people became irritable and cross as they traveled. They spoke out against God and Moses. Why did you drag us out of Egypt to die in this God-forsaken country? No decent food, no water. We can't stomach this stuff any longer. So God sent poisonous snakes among the people. They bit them, and many in Israel died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke out against God and you. Pray to God. Ask him to take these snakes from us." Moses prayed for the people. God said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a flagpole. Whoever is bitten and looks at it will live." So Moses made a snake of fiery copper and put it on top of the flagpole. Anyone bitten by a snake who then looked at the copper snake lived. The word of the Lord is blessed. We thank God for his word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It is a compass and a guide for our souls. Thank you, our readers, excuse me, for sharing and stepping up tonight in Jesus' name. Tonight's lesson, in a continuation of our series based upon the theme for us, the theme being "All I See is Victory" from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, and 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Tonight's theme and focus is "Don't die in the wilderness." Don't die in the wilderness. The Lord directed me to this passage of scripture because, in as much as we have been talking about victory in the face of battles, sometimes the battle that we face is an unseen enemy. Sometimes the battle that we face is bigger than what we think. This text starts out by letting us know that the Canaanites had come and they had defeated Israel. They came, they saw, and they conquered. It's not an easy feeling when you're on the losing side. It's not an easy experience when you have had such an incredible history, because here now in the book of Numbers, the people of God have come through a great portion of that wilderness experience. God had given them divine order in terms of how to approach him, given them the instructions from the book of Leviticus in terms of holiness, holiness as it relates to God, and holiness as it relates to each other. I think it's important to note that holiness is not just a horizontal, or rather not just a vertical experience. A lot of times when we talk about the idea of holiness, we put it in the context of our relationship with God. And certainly God tells us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." His word tells us to follow peace with all men, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And that second quote puts it in the context of not just our relationship with God, but our relationship with each other. Follow peace with all men, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And so this idea of having walked with God, having seen the miraculous of God, having seen God use Moses in a profound and powerful way, the Red Sea opened up before them and the people of God walked across on dry ground. They turned as they saw their enemies hot on their trail, pursuing after them. And the spirit of fear tried to grip them while they were yet walking through the Red Sea. God gave Moses instruction that the same way I gave you instruction to open it, I want you to close it the same way. I'm so glad that when God gives us his word, he doesn't give us half a word. He gives us a whole word. The word that take us from the beginning, take us through the middle, and see us through to the end. Aren't you glad tonight that when God speaks to you, he gives you a full word? There are times in our lives where we have to wait till we see the word unfold. But I'm so glad every one of us has the 66 books of the Bible at our disposal, ready and willing to speak to our hearts. And so it was. The people of Israel were overtaken. The king of Arad came and conquered them. And the Bible says that they were taken, some of them were taken prisoners. So there were prisoners of war that were captured. They were taken into the Canaanite stronghold. Some of us are dealing with strongholds. Some of us have found ourselves captured by these strongholds, strongholds in our minds, strongholds in our thoughts, strongholds in our flesh. Tonight, the Holy Ghost told me to tell somebody, don't die in the wilderness. Don't die in the wilderness. The Bible says that Israel turned unto God in light of their circumstances, which is a very understandable reaction. It's a very understandable response to turn to God. The Bible says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. The scriptures remind us and even encourage us that the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee, send thee help from the sanctuary and strength out of Zion. It goes on to tell us, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, David says, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And so oftentimes the scriptures encourage us and admonish us, even when my heart within me is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, says the psalmist. David goes on to regale us by sharing that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. How many times have we heard David says that the Lord is the lifter of his head, the Lord is his light and his salvation. Even when a host should come against him, his heart shall not fear. When war rises against him, in this will he be confident. And so it is a natural response when we are under pressure to turn to God. But be careful for under pressure actions. Be careful for choices made and actions performed and even words spoken under pressure. Because there's a lot that can come out when the pressure is on. My God, my God, my God. The Bible says that Israel vowed a vow and said, if you will give us this people, if you will deliver the Canaanites and unto us, we will destroy them. We'll utterly destroy them in their cities. They wasn't just talking about killing the people. They were saying, we're going to destroy their cities. We're going to burn it all down. We're going to tear it all down. And he called the name of that place a certain name, which was interesting because God hearkened to Israel and gave Israel the Canaanites. They utterly destroyed the Canaanites and their cities. The Bible says that the name that was called there was Hormah, H-O-R-M-A-H. And Hormah means broken rock or devoted to destruction. The place was dedicated to destruction because God had answered the prayers of Israel. Put a pin in that for a moment. I think that all of us have experienced victories in our walk with God. I think all of us have experienced a time where we felt on the mountain. We felt exhilarated. We felt like champions. You can see the fists balled and the arms raised in the air like a prize fighting champion, having won the not only the round, but won the bout, won the whole match. I can see fists clenched and arms raised up as a person crosses the finish line after a marathon. Though their bodies are fatigued and their legs are burning, the thought that they have completed the race, but not just completed it, but they came out first, sends an adrenaline rush through them that causes them to feel like leaping over walls and running through troops. But then there comes the aftermath. Just as it's not a surprise that people have great words to say or great prayers to pray when they're under pressure, rest assured that after the victory is going to come another challenge. The Bible says that God began to lead them around a certain way. And this is the point where I want you to think about tonight most. They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to come past the land of Edom. And the Bible says the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Verse number 4. I want you to consider that verse and look at that verse very good. Look at it very hard. It doesn't say that they were discouraged because of the war. They got through the war. They faced the challenge. They were able to overcome it because of God's divine intervention. But here the scripture says that the people were much discouraged because of the way, not because of the war, but because of the way. Sometimes the way can be a challenge in itself. The way of holiness, the way of faith, the way of walking uprightly before the Lord. The Bible lets us to know that God's ways are always right, but his ways are not always easy. His burden, his yoke is easy and his burdens are light, but that's when we're talking about when we let our souls rest in him. Because when our soul is at rest, nothing is truly able to separate us. But there's going to come a time when you're going to need to utter the words that were a part of the hymn that was played in the opening. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord." And I can hear the singer cry out. Sometimes even with tears in our eyes, we'll say these words, "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. How I've proved you over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus." And here's where the pressure comes. "Oh, for grace to trust you more." And so it was that in the journey, they were tired. They got tired because of the way. It wasn't because of the enemies. It was because of the way. They got weary. We are admonished to be careful for those times and seasons, because when we are weary, when we are weak, God has something to show us. The Bible says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." And I think when I think about that word reap, it resonates within my spirit is in terms of revelation. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall see revelation if we faint not. Revelation, you got to hold on in the wilderness. You got to hold on in that interstitial period. What is the wilderness? The wilderness is the time in between. The time in between your last victory and your next conquest. That waiting time that waiting period, that time in between the Canaanites, as it were, trying to oppress the people of God, and the next conquest that God has in store for us. It's in that wilderness, that period. You know, a wilderness is a big place. It's an arid place. It's a place where there is not much life. There's not much to see. There's not much to do. And if you're not careful, you can get lost real easy in the wilderness, because there's no road signs. There's no lights. There's no cameras. There's no people walking around. You know, oftentimes if we're lost and we're not sure which way to go, we can ask a pedestrian if we're walking. We can ask another driver if we're at a stoplight. We can stop and ask a police officer, or we can look at a map in a subway station. But in a wilderness, there is no police officer. There is no other pedestrian. There are no cars being driven. There's no map to see. Hallelujah. It's a wilderness. And in that wilderness is where our faith is tested. In that wilderness is where our conviction is tested. In that wilderness, it's where what really matters is put to the test. Hallelujah. The wilderness is the place where you and your faith is put to the test. And so we see something here that begins to unfold. And the Bible says they were discouraged. They were discouraged. They were getting tired. They were getting weary. Another translation said they became impatient because of the challenges of the journey. We know that the way of godliness is not easy. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. That's what the Bible says. Many, many are the afflictions. The Bible says to us out of the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, don't worry about this world. Don't worry about this world. Don't worry about this world. In the world, you will have tribulation. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. You're going to have hardship. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be challenging. Sometimes you will feel that you are in this thing by yourself. But don't give up. Don't give in. Because God is just looking to see how you will respond. It's only a test. The Bible says that they were overcome by this experience. They became irritable and they were cross. Now that word cross does not mean what we think it means in terms of the cross that Jesus hung on. They were annoyed. They were irritated. They were angry. They became facetious. And in the midst of that, now that the discouragement is something on the inside. I told you that there are some enemies that you're going to have to fight that you won't see with your eyes. There's some enemies that you've got to deal with that you can't put your finger on. And those are sometimes the most dangerous enemies, because how do you fight an enemy you cannot see? How do you fight an enemy that you cannot touch? But I'm so grateful that God, in his infinite wisdom, put this in the Holy Writ, that we have such a high priest who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, who was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. In other words, God feels what you feel. My God, he feels what you feel. He knows the way that we take. This was Job's consolation. And his affirmation was this, that when I am tried, I shall come forth as pure gold. Jeremiah, in the midst of the heaviness of his lamentations, he said, this I will recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are renewed every morning. What do I need to do when I'm in the wilderness? I got to remind myself of God's goodness when I'm in a wilderness, because every one of us will have that wilderness experience. You on this line right now, I dare say that there is a component of what you are going through, or what you have come through, or what you will go through, that will cause you to feel like you are in a wilderness. But when you are there, remember God. The Bible says the people spake against God. They lost their good mind. They forgot that it was God that opened the door of the Red Sea, made a way on in the river, in the sea, turned the ground to dry ground. They forgot that it was God that showed his hand mighty against the Egyptians with 9 plagues to show Pharaoh that his arms were too short to box with God. It was in Egypt that the Israelites saw the witness of God's word when they followed instructions to slay a lamb, put the blood of the lamb of the first year without blemish, put it in a bowl, put it in a basin, and take hyssop in it, and dip the hyssop in the basin of blood, and paint the doorpost and lintel, mark it with the blood of the lamb. And this was the promise. And I know that some of you are still grateful for this. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I dare say every one of us was in the period of judgment. Every single one of us have been at the point where judgment was falling on our lives, but the blood made a difference. My God, my God, my God. The blood is still making a difference. But in the text, the Bible says the people spake against God. So they didn't, they felt this emotion of discouragement and they done lost their good mind. They started to speak against God. It's one thing to feel a thing. And I'm not talking about suppressing your feelings, but I'm talking about controlling your mouth. Scripture says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. In other words, you got to have a word. You got to know how to have a word in season. You got to know how to have a word in a difficult moment. Everybody can have a word when the power of God is falling and the miracles of God are being performed. But do you have a word in the wilderness? Hallelujah. And so not only do you need to remember, I'm trying to teach somebody something here about how not to die in the wilderness. Not only do you have to remember God, put him in your mind. Paul tells us to think on certain things, to not let the experience cause us to lose our minds. And be careful for nothing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Be careful for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to tell us what to think about. If there be any virtue in these things, he says, if there be any praise, think on these things. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are goodness and mercy and those qualities that are virtuous, he said, if there be any virtue in it, and if there be anything praiseworthy in it, okay, think on those things. And to know where to put your mind, because the devil wants to drag your mind into the ground. He wants to drag your mind out of the will of God. We were in the gutter, but from the guttermost to the uttermost, thank God we're saved. The people lost their mind and they began to speak against Moses as well as God. And this is what they said. Wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. They began to complain. Instead of using their mouths to speak God's word in the face of the situation, they began to affront God. They got in God's face But it wasn't to praise him. It wasn't to worship him. It wasn't to adore him. It was to accuse him. Be careful when that spirit of accusation comes. Be careful when you are inclined to start looking at others and blame others for what you're going through. Mm-hmm. They began to murmur and complain, and what they saw was death. They saw that where they were was a place that they were going to die. Listen to their words. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? They couldn't see beyond where they were. This is what happens when the wilderness is starting to get to you. You can't even tell where you are. Losing sight of the vision, losing sight of the goal, losing sight of the big picture that God has in store. They were freed from 400 years of slavery. And yep, they were in a wilderness, but they were on their way somewhere. I don't know who I'm talking to on this phone, but don't die in the wilderness. Don't die. Don't die in the wilderness, son. Don't die in the wilderness, daughter. Don't die in the wilderness, brother. Don't die in the wilderness, sister. They forgot where they were on their way to. They were on their way to better. And I wish somebody could open your mouth and put that in the atmosphere right where you are. I am on my way to better. Now, it may not feel like better right now. It may not look like better right now, but I am on my way to better. I wish you can just say that out of your mouth. I'm on my way to better. But what they saw caused them to back up on God. Now, you have to understand, everybody saw the same thing. Very much like when they went into Canaan, the spies under Moses' instruction to spy out the land. You remember how they came back. 10 of them said, we can't do this. The people of the land are big. Their land will consume us. Joshua and Caleb said, listen, this is our moment. This is what we've been working for. This is what we've been praying for. This is what we've been toiling for. And if the Lord delights in us, he's going to give us this place. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Everything about it says, this is my home. Everything about it says, this is what God has promised. And I'm talking to somebody on this line right now. You need to get your vision back. You need to get your dream back. You need to embrace the word of God afresh. And tell yourself, I refuse to die in the wilderness. They spoke against God, and they spoke against God's man. And as a result of that, things got ugly. You thought things were bad before. You think it was bad before. You think you were feeling something before. You think that the pressure of having to deal with captivity, with the Israel, Egyptians, and then with Arad, the Canaanite, that king. You think that that was bad. God has a way of getting us in the right position. Israel had got out of position. She lost her place. And God wasn't going to tolerate that. A lot of times when we look at God, we see God as the healer, as our El Shaddai, the multi-breasted one, our Jehovah Rophe, our Jehovah Shalom, our Jehovah Mekiddish, the Lord that healeth us, the Lord that sanctifies us, our Jehovah Shammah, the Lord that is present. But that same God is a judge. That same God says there's a way to approach me, and there's a way that seems right to you. But the end of those ways are the ways of death. The word of the Lord tells us that they began to speak again under pressure. They said that there is no bread, neither any water here. And our soul loatheth this light bread. Now, y'all remember the light bread was the manna. And the manna was what God divinely provided for them out of heaven. Divine provision. They said, we're tired of it. We want something new. We loathe. This, they called it miserable food. Miserable food. They absolutely lost their mind. They said, no decent food here, no water in this godforsaken country, and we can't stomach this stuff that we're getting any longer. And God said, okay, let me show you what happens when I pull my hand back from your life. Let me show you what happens when grace and mercy are withheld. Let me show you what happens when conquest turns into consequence. And the Bible says the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Out of nowhere, there were serpents everywhere. Serpents on the left, serpents on the right, burning fiery serpents. It was their bite that was burning. God have mercy. Ooh, it was a fiery bite. It was a stinging bite. It was a poisonous bite. It was a venomous bite. And as a result, the Bible says that much people of Israel died. It's a terrible thing when you forget God at your halfway point. When you lose sight of where you are because of what you're going through. Because if you are going to trust God when the sun is shining, you must trust him when there's no sun in the sky. If you're going to walk with God when he's opening ways and you're walking through seas on dry ground and manna is falling out of the sky, provision is being made for you, daily bread is being bestowed upon you. If you're going to rejoice in those times, you need to arm yourself likewise with the fact that every day won't be Sunday. Some days you're going to have to endure hardness like a good soldier. Lord, have mercy. What happens when the soldier is called and the soldier is wounded? What happens when the sound of the alarm is given and the soldier is tired? What happens when we have given all and it seems like this, that's yet not enough? When we are in the will of God, those experiences will come. And the word corroborates that by saying, weeping may endure for the night. But I wish I had a witness that would tell somebody what happens in the morning. Your flesh is going to always try to get the best of you. Your flesh is going to always tell you, oh, it don't take all of that. Your flesh is going to always tell you, you need to be looking out for you because ain't nobody else looking out for you. Ain't nobody else paying your bills. Oh, God. Ain't nobody else putting food on your table. You better do what you need to do. You know you got to do this. You know you've got to do that. I know they may call it compromise, but you are calling it survival, the blood of Jesus. God did not make your body for sin. God did not make your body to flaunt. One of the most egregious things before a holy God is a people that will flaunt their flesh. Whew. The flesh profiteth nothing. It is the spirit that quickeneth, Jesus said. It ain't your flesh, because all flesh is grass. Some of you are young grass. Some of you are middle-aged grass. Some of you are old grass, and you're trying to make that grass look good. The Bible says the grass withereth and the flower fadeth away. Listen, I'm not trying to tell you not to look your best, but don't let your best get in the way of in the way of your holiness. If your best compromises holiness, then your best is not a blessing. It becomes a curse. Lord, have mercy. Your flesh, if somebody sees you, you need to make sure that they see the God in you, not the flesh in you, because your flesh profits nothing. Your flesh profits nothing. I don't care how cute you think you are. I don't care how handsome you think you are. Your flesh profits nothing. As a matter of fact, you can do all you want to do with your flesh. You and your flesh will go to hell. There's going to be cute people in hell. They so cute. They so cute. They're not thinking about their soul. They're just thinking about being cute. And this is a byproduct of the world we're living in, because all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Love not the world. The Lord was talking and he spoke to Moses. People died in this wilderness. People died. They died because they forgot God. They died because they started murmuring against God. They died because they started complaining against his provision. Some people will not appreciate a thing until they lose it. And then they'll wish that they never treated it the way they did. Don't die in the wilderness. The Bible says the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." Very interesting how under pressure feelings, under pressure actions, under pressure words, they shift like the wind because they're coming out under pressure. They're not coming out from a place that has been surrendered. Make sure your words come from a surrendered place. They came out of Egypt, but they wasn't walking like free people. They were delivered from their adversaries. They were delivered from the hands of their taskmasters, but they were still looking back. When the rubber met the road and when stuff started getting difficult, they say, "Why did you bring us out from there?" They never fully understood that Egypt was not for them. That was just a pass-through place. Lord, have mercy. Somebody on this line needs to be reminded that whatever you're going through, you're passing through. You're passing through. Whatever difficulty you're facing, whatever problems are confronting you, whatever challenges you may face as a believer, you're passing through. The Bible says that this began to affect the people. And they came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee." Never underestimate God's ability to get your attention, because he doesn't want you to die in the wilderness. He doesn't want you to fail. He doesn't want your faith to fail. And so nothing gets people on their knees quicker than affliction. Nothing gets people on their knees quicker than having a problem. There was a wise old man, preacher at Beulah Church where I grew up, the assistant pastor of that ministry, an incredible anointed servant of God by the name of Elder Eugene Bryant. He's the father of our brother, Elder Charleston Bryant, Sister Lynette Bryant Payne, and a host of other daughters. And this wise man once said, and I'll never forget it, that the Lord will always let you have enough fleas to keep you scratching. Because God knows the human nature, that when we think we have arrived, we forget where he brought us from. They needed to be reminded that God was not their call boy. God was not their sugar daddy. God was not at their waiter. God is their God. And the Lord said to Moses, "I got something for you. They went to the people. The people came in and said, pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. Moses prayed for the people. And what God began to do is something that kind of blew my mind. When you look at the text and you see what God is doing, the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live. Take bronze, melt it down, put it on a pole. Take the bronze, melt it down, and make a serpent and put it on the pole. Fire had to come into the situation. And there's nothing like the fire of God to get things where they need to be. Fire removes impurities in precious metals. It does not strip away the value, but it takes away everything that would devalue it. The fire of melting, it changed the very image and the shape of the brass. I don't know if you can imagine a cauldron with brass in it and put under a fire, and the fire is so hot that the brass begins to melt, changes its original shape, doesn't change its worth, but it changes its warped, because God is about to shape it into something new. The fire was applied. And it was in the fire that the remedy came out. It was the melting down of the brass. And God told Moses to make a serpent out of the brass. Now, it would be really, it would seem strange that God would take the thing, the image of the thing that caused the problem, to use it as a part of his plan for the solution. It seems odd that God would take something that would almost point back to the experience, oh God have mercy, and use that as something to bring them out of it. I think God is incredible, because he took the cause and he made it the cure. He told Moses to put this serpent, take this brass, melt it down, put fire to it, boil it down, get it down to its bare elements, to the precious nature of what it was originally designed to, and then make a serpent out of it, put it on a pole, and everybody that looks up will live. Now, you're talking about people who were weakened, people who were discouraged, they were tired, they were worn out from the way, they were weary, and then now they were bit. So they were infected with a venom that was designed to bring them death. But it's only God that can take the thing that the devil meant for evil and turn it around to make it for good for you. The cure. Woo! You know how they provide defense, or they provide a remedy to a snake bite. They take some of the venom to make a cure. And I got news for somebody. The worst thing that the devil could do to you, God is going to turn it around and make it work for you. It's going to work for you. Oh, God, I feel like jumping and shouting on this phone right now. And I know this is a teaching night, and so I'm trying to keep it in. This is just what Jesus became for us. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God told Moses to tell the people to look up. And when they look up at the serpent, if they look, they will live. Jesus became the very thing that brought us to a place of need in the first place, so he can take us to a place of victory that we never knew. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus was righteous, and that was great, but he could not redeem us by being that way. He could only redeem me by becoming my kinsman. He had to become like me. He had to become like you. Oh, God, he had to take on the sin without the nature. God, have mercy on my soul. He didn't take on the nature, but he took on the guilt. He took on the pain. He took on the shame. He took on the consequences, not for one of us, but for all of us on this line. Jesus paid it all. Whew. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, but my kinsman redeemer stepped up for me when I could not redeem myself. My kinsman redeemer stepped up for me when I could not pay the debt that I had owed. My kinsman redeemer stepped up and identified with me in my worst condition. Oh, God, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I was not attractive, but he saw something good in me. I was not worth it, but he saw the worth in me. I was not worth dying for. I wasn't even worth living for, but he decided to die just so that I can be free. He would not come down from the cross. Oh, Tayarabushanda. Woo! He wouldn't come down from the cross, but he decided to die just to save me. The Bible says that when they looked, the curse began to reverse. When they looked, the weight began to come off of them. When they looked, that lethargic feeling began to leave them. They were still in the wilderness, but they were restored. They were revived. They were inspired. Keep in mind, it didn't change that they were in the wilderness, but a change on the inside took place. Don't die in the wilderness, my friend. Don't die there. Don't die. Lift the Savior up. Still, he speaks from eternity. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift the Savior up for all men to see. Trust him and do not doubt the words that he said. I'll draw all men unto me. Don't exalt the preacher. Don't exalt the pew. Preach the gospel, simple, pure, and free. Prove him, and you will find that promise is true. I will draw all men unto me. Lift him up by living as a Christian ought. Let the world in you, the Savior, see. Then men will gladly follow him who once taught, I'll draw all men unto me. Don't die in the wilderness. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't die in the wilderness. Remind yourself of his promises. Don't die in the wilderness. Speak the word and watch God work. Don't die in the wilderness because you're just passing through. That space is not your home. God has something greater in store for you. And so, my friend, be encouraged tonight. Embrace the truth of the word of God. All I see is victory, even when I'm in a wilderness. All I see is victory, even when I feel like I'm in a trap. Woo! All I see is victory when the enemy comes in like a flood. And sometimes there's a flood of feelings that will come. But even then, I will confess, all I see is victory in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to also take the time to read 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 1 through 11. This is a companion passage of scripture for tonight's lesson from Numbers chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. The companion is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 11, in Jesus' name. Is there anyone that has a question on the line concerning tonight's lesson? Anyone have a question? Please unmute yourself and feel free to ask.
Could you repeat the scriptures, please? Thank you.
Yes. The key scriptures from the lesson is Numbers chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. Numbers chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. And the companion scriptures is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 11. And you can add for further edification, John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Anyone else have another question on the line before we go into a word of prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Don't die in the wilderness. Don't die in the wilderness. God bless you. Let's look to the Lord together. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for all of these precious hearts on this line. I thank you right now, Lord God, for every person name by name, home by home, individual by individual. I thank you, Lord God, for each one. And I ask in the name of Jesus that you would extend your wisdom to them right now, that they will receive the word they heard tonight and that they will take action on this word this week. The enemy wants them to die in the wilderness, to forget your hand of mercy, to forget your miraculous intervention, but the devil is a liar. Tonight we give you praise and glory because you brought us out from the miry clay. We give you praise and glory because you put our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. We give you praise and glory for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We thank you, Lord, that death and destruction was a part of our first birthright. But we thank you tonight that victory is the right of every person that is born again. This is the victory that overcomes the world. We thank you that you have made us more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. We thank you tonight that we got a praise on our lips. Thank you tonight. There's a song in our heart. Thank you tonight that we are not looking back, we're moving forward. Oh, hayarabushataya. Woo, glory to God. We're moving forward. We're moving forward. We thank you that you are the God that makes all things new. Yes, we thank you that you are the God that makes all things new. And tonight, Lord God, we speak the words of commitment and even recommitment that we will follow you forward. Lord God, somebody, the enemy tried to make them go back, but the devil is a liar. Tonight we go forward. Hey God, we're looking for your glory. We're looking for your presence. We're looking for your move. We're looking for a fresh anointing. And we thank you that even in the wilderness, you can make the desert blossom like a rose. Oh God of heaven and God of earth, God of the hills and God of the mountains, God of the valleys, God of the high places, God of the low places, God of all places. Tonight we bless you and we affirm tonight. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. And tonight we make this declaration. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Look upon every home. Look upon every heart. Look upon every man, woman, and young person. Look upon those, Lord God, who are feeling the pressure of the way, feeling the weight of the way. And sometimes the way is not easy, and you never said it was going to be. But we trust you, Lord, for they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion that cannot be removed. And so tonight, I commit these, your precious people, into your hands. I thank you for your mighty move in their lives. I thank you, Lord, for the forward thrust. I thank you, Lord God, for the anointing to move ahead. And tonight, oh God, we are trusting in you, Lord. We've heard the conqueror's tread, and by faith, we see the victory ahead. Bless us, Lord, that we will cultivate a God confidence so that in all these things, we will be more than conquerors. Let us learn from the lessons and the mistakes of others so that we are not bound to repeat them ourselves. Bless your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with you all now, henceforth and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.